Hi, my name is Yong Chen Wu. For those who don't know me, I'm Jacqueline and Jesse's father. Usually my weak point is for those city name and person's name, my pronunciation always make mistake, but don't laugh at me, okay? But correct me. Today's topic is to live a holy life. I'm going to talk about two sections. One is why do we need live the holy life, and the second is how do we live the holy life. So let's think about it. As a Christian, how to be a good Christian, right? And let's step one more step back, right? When we think about it, this is when we're looking for the job. How do you find that which company is a good company, right? And I try to give some example here. Don, could you please? Okay, I think a shrimp, have mushrooms, and very good vegetables, and they're fresh. Right? And then next, please. This is pizza. Have the shrimp, bacon, red pepper, and next, please. And this is Alaska cod with Brazil, whatever. So if the company, right, if the company can provide those kind of food and every day and include not only that, right, and have the not only lunch, have breakfast and a dinner, right, and not only that, if the company also would like to invite your employees, friends, family member, right, all come to company whenever you like to enjoy the food, right? For me, I consider this a good company, right? Why? The company trying to please the employee, right? Because the company knows the employee, for all human beings, we like food, and we like free food, right? And we like delicious free food. So this is one of the standard to when we pick the company, because company trying to please the employees. And when we think about the parents, right, in most of the Chinese family, right, the Chinese parents trying to their best to please their kids. Not in my generation. I used to try my best to please my parents, but right now most parents trying to please the kids. What last 2 days ago, Friday, right, I start at 6 a.m. morning. I drove all the way to the Virginia Beach, 7 hours. To pick up my Jesse and Jacqueline at 1 p.m. and I drove back the same day. So I drove like 14 hours during one day to pick up them. Why I tried to preach them. Could you please show the picture? So this is a picture during the lunchtime on Jacqueline and Jesse and the whole school band in Virginia Beach. The reason I tried to pick up them because they have band trip. The band trip was going on Thursday. To go over there and come back on Sunday. However, they have OM contest and state contest on Saturday, so they have to come back early. And they have two options. The option one is they will take cab from the hotel to the bus station, and then they will take bus from the bus station to train station, and then they will take train from the train station in the Virginia Beach all the way to the Newark, and by the time they came to Newark, it would be about 1 a.m. in the morning. So they have option two. They asked me to take the day off, right, drive 14 hours the whole day to go over there and come back during the rain day, okay? They have four kids, by the way. So I really, really don't want to go, okay? I told them, no, you know, to try your best to schedule all those cab, bus, train, and come back. I'll pick you from the train station. And they discuss for a couple of days, and then they came to me and say, please, you know. It's easy for them, right, to say, please, you know, could you please do us a big favor, right? So because most of the kids know, right, during those band trips, they don't sleep, right? They keep awake, you know, have fun overnight. And by the next day, it's perfect for them to take a sleep on the bus, on my car, right, and then come back, and then next day to take the competition. So I say, I think about it, really, it's hard for me, but I agree. And then, you know, I took day off, I
spend 14 hours giving the ride. Why? Because as a parent, I'm trying to please my kids. This is a tradition of the Chinese family. Okay. And also, okay, could you okay, this is, when we come back, it's around 8 p.m. already. So I invite them to go to a Chinese restaurant, have a very good dinner for them. Because my wife was not home. Okay, I have to treat them. So this is, as a parent, I try to please my kids, right? Another example, can you go to the next one? So this is a cat owner. He tried to please his cat. Why? So he decorated his face as a cat and a host cat. And, you know, of course, the cat is very happy. So this is the normal world, right? In the normal world, always have the one party trying to please another party. As Christian, right? How to be the good Christian? The good Christian, we need to please our God. Okay? So we don't like the regular people, right? We need to please our God. So why, as Christian, we have to please our God? Because the Bible script told us. So this is two Bible verses. Both of the verses and have the words over there to please the God. Let me read them. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. And the second verse is from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God. So this is the Bible verse told us. We as a Christian, we need to please the God. So how can we please the God? Good. So how can we please the God? To please the God, we have to live a holy life. Why? Because this is also what the Bible told us. To please the God, we need to live the holy life. Usually when we read the Bible, right, we know, right, if the words, the key words, repeat more than two times, this is important. So let's look at the Bible verse. To told us to live the holy life. So this is all in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is verses 3, 4, 7. They all, each verse have the words the holy. The words sanctified also means holy. So let me read all those three verses. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control this own body in a way that is holy and honorable. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. So this is the script told us. We as Christians, we have to live the holy life to please the God. So let's think about that. What's the holy? Because it's if you think that it's holy, it's very hard to imagine what's a real holy. But also, the best way to understand the holy is also from the Bible. Let's look at the Bible verse, see what's the holy. So there's two verses to tell us. It's holy first, not holy. Very good. So let's talk about holy first. Let's talk about what's not holy. So not holy, in Bible verse, there are two verses to tell us what's the not holy. The first one is not impassionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And the second one is and that in his matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish man for all such things as we have already told you and warned. So the script told us very clearly what kind of the person is not holy. Let's think about that in this world, right? It's very easy to find a lot of examples. It's not holy. Let's look at this person. I think most people know this person. He was Tunisian president, and the last name Bin Ali. He has been president for 21 years in the country. He has done a lot of good work, and most of us, you know, probably didn't notice this country, probably didn't know this person until a couple weeks ago, when there's a news leak out from the WikiLeaks, and in 2008, U.S. ambassador to this country sent a message from the cable. They have each country ambassador from that country every month send cable to the United States government to tell all those details, what happened to this country, what's the benefit for United States, and what's wrong with the United States. In 2008, the ambassador of the United States sent cable over to the government and told the government all the detailed story. Next slide. So this is the details of this cable. The June 23rd, 2008, U.S. ambassador to his name is Robert Godick. This is supposed to be very secret, highly secret, and it should be not released to public until 2018. However, it was leaked out by the WikiLeaks in 2010. Because this is news was leaked in 2010, the whole country, the Tunisian country, the people over there feel very upset. The reason they feel upset is, you know, their leader, their president, have led them for 21 years. What they do in the front is very, you know, we lead the country, you know, economic is growth, everything's good. But on the back, his wife was the hairdresser, and the whole family, see, look at this cable. Whether it's her cash, service, land, property, or yes, even your yacht, this whole family basically grab everything they can see. So their family became very rich, but this country became poor. But when the people knows about that, right? This is the first country, you know, they know the news, and the people start to protest. And in just a couple of days, very very soon, the president was out. So they picked a new one. This is a good example that for regular people, if he has unlimited power, right, they can do whatever they can do. They are seen in their mind. They can expand to unlimited. And then by end of the, you know, I believe the first couple of years he was pretty good, right? But after 21 years, his sin controlled his whole mind, and his whole family became, you know, this is not holy life. Another example is this person. I think most people knows about that. This he was the Egypt president. His name is Mohammed Hossein Sayed Mubarak. He served the country from 1981 to 2011, 31 years. He served the country for 31 years. They elect him like four times. He always get majority vote to be a president. But same thing, you know, there's news from the U.S. ambassador to Egypt, and they send cable to the United States. His whole family have the assets, right now the estimate is between 50 billion U.S. dollars to 70 billion U.S. dollars. And they almost the whole family include to control everything. But at the beginning of his presidency, he's pretty good, you know. If you guys know a little bit of his history, Egypt was the only country was kicked out from the Arab League. When Arab, usually all the Arab countries have the league. Basically, they united together to fight against Israel. But Egypt was the first country. They decided to make peace with Israel. So they signed the peace contract with Israel, right? And don't fight with each other. Because of that, the country was kicked out from the Arab League. You know, if the country is outside the Arab League, there's a lot of disadvantages. But because of this person, right, this is 31 years ago, right after he became the president, he negotiated with all those Arab countries, rejoined all those Arab League. So this country became the part of the Arab League. In the meantime, he still keep the peace contract with Israel. So it's very good. You know, he basically pleased the both parts. Also, the good thing about this president, he escaped the sixth time the assassinations. You know, most of all those six times assassinations, you know, he escaped. He almost dead. Just, you know, very, very tiny time difference. You know, he almost lost his life. Also, he was very powerful and very efficient to raise the Egypt, you know, the economics. He opened the market to have the foreign, you know, investment to come to this country. He was, you know, contribute a lot to his country, to his people. But after like 31 years, his mind became, you know, uncontrolled because he can control everything. Right, and he's a human being. This is a sin come out, and he grabbed as much as he can. His whole family, anyone he knows, his friend, his family, basically control the most assets of this country. So these two examples is good enough to tell us, right? If it's not Christian, if they're a regular person, it's very easy. It's very easy to have the sin in their mind, and then to get corrupt. So, what do we do as Christian? What we do? We have to live the holy life. And now we come to the second part, right? We know why do we have to live the holy life, and let's find out how can we live the holy life. Let's also go back to the script. The script told us like there are two verses I want to share with everyone. The first one is. To each of you, you should learn to control his own body. We need to learn to control our own body, which is also very hard. You think you can control your own body, but a lot of time, there's too many things around you to attract you, distract you to all the directions. It's very hard to control your own body. On the second verse, I want to share with Don, could you please go to the second verse? Yes. The second verse is match our church theme for this year. I have been crucified with Christ, and I'm no longer live, but Christ live in me. The life live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. So second part we have to do is to have the Christ live in us, live inside of us. We need to basically follow the Bible, follow the script, and then to. But going back to day to day, how can we in our daily life, right? We live the holy life. This is my suggestion. I have three suggestions. One is to read Bible as much as we can, to pray for God as much as we can, and the third one is offer ourselves. So let's talk about the first one, to read Bible. This is a picture. We had we call brother Bible study camp. A couple weeks ago, we have the camp. So we have the five brothers from our church. We went over there. This is from the Friday, Saturday, and the Sunday. I really encourage everyone. You know, most time we read Bible ourselves. Also, we have the Sunday school, we have a fellowship, but those kind of camp is really helpful. You know, we concentrate for those 3 days, and we learn a lot from those brothers over there. For me, it's very impressive because the main topic is about the David, King David, because King David is a typical the person. he had a lot of challenges during his life, right? He got challenges from the Goliath. And this is a challenge from outside enemy. Second challenge he's got from the King Saul, which is from his previous generation, right? And another challenge that David got is from the Bathsheba. Bathsheba is from his own flesh. And also, King David got challenge from the Absalom, which is his son. So, during the Bible study, right, the camp over there, we learn King David has a lot of challenge in his whole life. But only way he overcome all those challenges is by depending on God. So this is the key we learn from this Bible camp. I think, you know, it's a detailed message we might forget, but those themes we know every time, whenever we have any challenge, which most of the people have, we have to deal with the challenges to depend on God. Okay, so I just want to share, this is the building. We spend 3 days over there. We live over there. We have kitchen over there. And this is the meeting room. Right, we have to stay over there almost like all the time. We have the group, the meeting, and the big meeting over there. And this is during the break time. We have the, you know, Bible study to prepare for the meeting. And this is outside of the parking lot. And the last one, this is a place that's beautiful, very beautiful. And if people like fishing, they can even fishing over there. So this is my suggestion. First one, we need to try out our best to find the way to read the Bible ourselves and have group people read Bible together. Second one is we need to pray together. You know, as everyone knows, we have the prayer meeting Wednesday evening in church, and a lot of the, you know, youth and adults come here. You know, we pray together, we worship God, we praise God, and we inspect our own sin, and we pray for other people. The last item I suggest is to offer ourselves. The way to offer ourselves, I think this is also a good experience to know how to live the holy life by walk in the God's kingdom. I have been involved in this church for the church expansion. And during expansion, I learned a lot. Not only learn, you know, how to build the building, how to deal with township, how to deal with engineering or architecture, lawyers. I also deal with different kind of the personality. For example, we have the, you know, architecture. He's a very good Christian. He has done everything, spent a lot of time, right? Contribute his gas, mileage, you know, he do everything. And I know his rate is very high because he says like 30 to 40 years experience. But by the end of the day, he doesn't charge anything. But he still works, you know, like more than 4 times the employee. You know, those kind of, you can tell right away, you know, he just told us he worshiped in other church, but he helped all the church for any, you know, expansions. So those kind of the example, you know, this is, I think God to show me, this is what's holy life. This is holy life. Even he's 60 years old, 70 years old, very old, but he's still to live the holy life, to help the God in the kingdom. So this is, you know, doing all those, when I think I offer myself, I think it's nothing. You know, I just offer a little bit of time. But for this person, right, this real Christian, he offered his whole life. I also, in the church, I involve a lot of caring. You know, I deal with a lot of families. I found some families very good. You know, when you dedicate to depend on God, this family is happy. It's a happy family. But if you look at some unhappy family, right, you can tell right away, right, they only focus on themselves, right? The couple is supposed to love each other, right? This is the most close people. But when there's no love, right? And if those two people become hate each other, it's really, really ugly for the family, and it hurts for the kids too. So those kind of lessons I learned, you know, during those, you know, when I offer myself to deal with all those the people, I learned a lot of lessons. So this is my suggestion to live a holy life, read the Bible, come to pray as much as we can, and offer ourselves. So that's it.